Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
You're listening to The Chris and Joe Show on Big Blue View Radio, your go-to source for New York Giants analysis.
Pressure from Thomas off the edge. Eli Manning stays on his feet, airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree.
You're listening to another episode of The Chris and Joe Show. I'm Joe DeLeon, joined by Chris Flum. We are presented to you by SB Nation and Big Blue View. We are your analysis guys here at the New York Giants blog, part of SB Nation's parent website. Today's episode, the final positional preview. I know we said that about the safeties, but that was the final offensive and defensive preview. There are still special teams guys to talk about. We wanted to have a separate show, a little bit of a different direction for this one, a different flow to it, to discuss the special teams guys on the roster. Now, that doesn't just include the specialists, the long snapper, kicker, and punter on the Giants team right now. It also includes kick and punt returners that we're going to talk about and project who will probably be the guys catching those kicks. And also the two big name guys who are core special teams players and going to earn roster spots because of their special teams capabilities. Chris, this special teams core is completely different. The specialist unit is completely different than it was at the start of the offseason. A lot of moves happened because of unexpected circumstances and certain players becoming available. Not exactly a lot of good things that went into this, but right now we have Casey Kreider as the starting long snapper. No other competition for training camp for him. A former Pro Bowler with the Denver Broncos. He is going to be snapping to punter Riley Dixon and also holding for kicker Chandler Catanzaro. So two new faces in this group. The one guy who's returning is Riley Dixon. Now, the one thing I'd like to discuss here, Chris, is you're bringing in a new long snapper. After last year having troubles with Zach Diossi, who was dealing with an injury and not entirely healthy, Colin Holba coming in and struggling tremendously with his blocking, you're bringing in someone who has shown consistency in the league. The team that he was formerly on was trying to save some money because he was one of the higher paid long snappers in the league. So Dave Gettleman decides to spend that money on a snapper to fix the operation issues that we saw last year. So should we be expecting a better season from Riley Dixon, who's already done a pretty good job?
You know, I think we really should. Just because, as you have mentioned a lot on the show, and you know, special teams is kind of our niche, that familiarity and continuity are really important in the operation of the punting and kicking games. You know, the punters and kickers, those are plays where a lot of fans tend to either zone out or get up to go get a drink, grab a snack, go to the bathroom, whatever. But they are really important, and they're also really, I would say, delicate plays in that if something goes wrong in the operation, a long snap is a little bit off target, or for some reason the cadence isn't quite right, things can go terribly, terribly wrong. And I think having another year with Thomas McGahee, with Tom Quinn, that will help Riley Dixon. And also having a much more consistent long snapper. And also, I just looked this up, a long snapper he already knows will really help Riley Dixon, because Casey Kreider and Dixon were together on the Denver Broncos from 2016 to 2018.
Yeah, there really is a lot of moving pieces that goes into good special teams play, and you don't even notice those moving pieces, because you only will acknowledge a mistake when it happens. It's supposed to be a transitioning play on punts. It's supposed to be a guaranteed 3 points or 1 point for an extra point or a field goal. Fans always assume that it's supposed to be an easy play, but that's really not the case. Like you were talking about, if a snap is a little bit off, or if someone misses their assignment in picking somebody up in protection, that can lead to a blocked punt. We saw last year a number of bad snaps from Zach Diassi. Now, understandably, he was at the very end of his career, and he was dealing with an injury that was very impactful for him being able to snap properly. Now we're bringing in a guy who has shown tremendous consistency. Having someone like that will incredibly elevate the performance of Riley Dixon, that he doesn't have to worry about where the ball is going to be. If everything is blocked properly in front of him, if the snapper is picking up the guy that he's supposed to be picking up. Gettleman could have gone the route of what some general managers do when they need a new long snapper, is bringing in a couple of young guys, a couple of players that have had maybe a few touches in the league, a game here or a preseason there, or even no opportunities in the league. Some general managers do that, but he saw the availability at the time, which was Casey Kreider, a Pro Bowler, being available to the Giants. And instead of creating some competition with a couple young guys and seeing who was the better one, he decided to go with the more proven player, not to mess around with it like they did last year, bringing in a number of players, bringing in Drew Harris in free agency. It didn't really seem like there was a true sense of direction with what they were trying to do. Now they have Kreider. They know who the guy is. There's no competition. There's nobody else on this roster to compete with him. All it is going to be Casey Kreider. The other new face, which we've already done an episode on, is Chandler Catanzaro, the new kicker after the legal issues with Aldrick Rosas, team deciding to part ways with him. Catanzaro, though, now is a bit of a wild card. We haven't seen him play in a full year. The last time he played, and the reason why he chose to retire, was because he missed two extra points in a preseason game. So, Chris, should we be a little worried, or what should we be worried about from a player who has not been around for a while?
I would say we should, maybe worried is a little bit too strong of a word, but maybe cautious and aware that, you know, he hasn't been around in a while. And the reason he retired last year was because he was inconsistent. And, you know, to me, kicking really does kind of remind me of being on the free throw line in basketball, where you basically get one shot at getting this play right. And it's a play that really should seem automatic, but there's a lot that can go wrong, and it's mostly mental. A lot of kickers, physically, it's all muscle memory, at least from what I understand about it. The thing is, you know, humans aren't robots, and, you know, take anybody to the free throw line, take them to the driving range, and you're rarely going to see the same execution twice. And a lot of that is because you just get in your own head. And, you know, I have to wonder where Catanzaro's head is at. And that is the part I think I would worry about, where if maybe he does go through a rough patch in camp where he misses what should be gimme kicks, you know, an extra point or a 30-yard field goal or something like that, if he will be resilient enough to basically forget about those and just keep moving forward, or if he will get back to the same headspace he was, or the same headspace he was in where he ultimately retired. That, I think, is at least where the worry will be with me.
You're 100% right with dealing with specialists and having technique issues leading to poor performance. Very rarely do guys fall off of their technique, but it's usually because of mental issues. It's usually because of getting inside your own head, overthinking things. All it really takes is missing a kick or two in a game. You'll start to doubt yourself if you miss one of those kicks. Next time you go out there, you will overthink it. You will overcompensate with your technique, and that could have very well been the case for Catanzaro. The reason why I want to bring this up, though, is because we've had a really good kicker previously. Aldrick Rosas was very good. Last year, the kicks that he missed we can point to that being operation errors. If you don't agree with that, go back and look. Go back and look at the plays that he missed. And we pointed out on the show that they were operation errors. Maybe there are a couple outliers, but most of those misses were because of operation issues from the snap. We are now going to have a guy who is not as consistent. We have not had to deal with a player who is not a consistent kicker in a few seasons. So it's going to be a bit odd having someone who misses extra points, who is going to miss a couple layup kicks. We might even see instances of the offense choosing to go for it on a fourth and short instead of kicking a field goal. There is not as much dependency on the kicker as there was previously, because the Pat Shurmur knew, and Thomas McGahee knew, that they could depend on Rosas to at least get in within striking range of hitting a field goal from anywhere around 50 yards or in, because he was that consistent of a kicker. But we're not going to exactly get that with Catanzaro. That then begs the question, do the Giants still decide to bring in competition? We already talked about this on a show previously, but there are now two available names in the mix, Graham Gano and Kai Forbath, who are proven veterans in this league. Similar process to why they signed Casey Kreider. They could go and sign Graham Gano or Kai Forbath because of previous connections to staff, just to compete so they know they have the right guy for the job.
What I know, Dave Gettleman is a really big relationship guy. He believes in the importance of knowing people and people knowing you. We've seen that time and time again in the Giants' drafts and free agent classes over the last 2 years. Pretty much everybody they bring in has some kind of connection to the coaching staff. Have Kai Forbath, who was just released by the Dallas Cowboys. The obvious connection there is with Jason Garrett, who was his head coach. And then with Graham Gano, he has an obvious connection there with Dave Gettleman, who signed him to a deal not all that long ago in Carolina. And also with Thomas McGahee, who is his special teams coach in Carolina. So there's a lot of personal relationships, a lot of knowledge of these kickers out there. So it would almost surprise me at this point if the Giants don't bring either one of them in, let alone maybe both of them, and let all three of the kickers battle it out. Although, considering the reduced roster sizes for this training camp, that might be something they would do in a regular year. Maybe might not see all three this year.
Right, and there's available options for going about that. There are two players that normally wouldn't really be available at this point in time. So the Giants can make that decision. They can go and bring in some additional help to compete for that kicker spot. We're going to wrap up with talking about the non-specialist special teams players. Before we do so, we're going to take a really short commercial break.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity, but giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
So when we talk about non-specialist players, there's a couple guys that we have spoken very highly of on this show, and there are also the kick returners. And the kick returning position is a very key spot on a roster, a very key special team spot on the roster, because if you have a good kick returner, you can create some very big gains that way. You can pick up some huge yardage just from a couple good blocks and put yourself in really good position. So last season, we saw Golden Tate return punts. We saw Corey Ballantyne return kicks. Darius Slayton did it a few times. The one guy that we were missing was Corey Coleman, who was hurt the whole year. And I think it's pretty safe to say that Coleman will be the favorite to come back and be the primary kick returner. And then also Javon Leak, the rookie, who was very good in college, to be another primary candidate. I don't think any of those other guys are going to get as many touches, except maybe Ballantyne, on special teams as they did previously with Coleman and Leak now in the play.
Yeah, I'm not sure the Giants have another punt returner other than Golden Tate right now. Sterling Shepard. I believe he has done it as well. They both have a similar skill set with good vision with the ball in their hands, good short area quickness. So if they are able to make a defender miss, or they pick up a good block, they can maximize whatever is there, which is what you're looking for from a punt returner. A guy who can secure the catch and then add whatever yardage he can on top of that. The kick returner, that's a little bit different. I think it will probably come down to, realistically, Ballantyne and Coleman as the primary kick returners. Javon Leakey's an undrafted free agent running back. I know Ed put him in his prediction to make the final roster. He'll really have to show something in kick returns in camp to get that, I think. But Ballantyne and Coleman, they're both pretty likely to make the final roster. Corey Coleman actually emerged as one of the best kick returners in the NFL 2 years ago before his ACL injury. So if that ACL is healthy, I fully expect the Giants to give him as good of an opportunity as they can to show that he still has that ability to basically see green field and go hit the afterburners and make yardage. Ballantyne has that ability as well. So I think that'll be the battle. And I think that could be a really good battle.
Right. There's a lot of available guys here. And Corey Coleman, if you remember, was a really, really good returner with that one season with the Giants a few years ago before he got hurt. He was an instant spark to the equation. He had a number of huge returns. So there is going to be some competition for that kick returner spot. I think it's better to have that problem of too many good or decent kick returners than not having a good one at all. The other two guys, though, Chris, Nate Ebner, Cody Core, they are clearly very, very technically sound special teams guys, and they have not really carved out roles on offense or defense at their respective positions with their previous teams, Core already being with the Giants, Ebner being with the New England Patriots. But what you do have with them is that they are very consistent. They know where they need to be and they get the job done.
They do. And they both have a very good feel for the special teams game. We know the Patriots love Nate Ebner. He was really a core piece in Joe Judge's special teams units and pretty much always very good special teams units with the Patriots. And last year we saw Cody Core come through a few times to really help pin opposing offenses back. There were a couple plays I remember where he seemingly came out of nowhere to down the ball inside the 5-yard line, basically right on the goal line. And those are nice highlight plays, but they can be huge for a defense because there's a big difference between having to drive the ball 75 yards from the 25-yard line for a touchback versus, 98, 99 yards. Being right on the goal line like that really limits an offense's options as far as play selection. It opens things up for the defense and gives them that many more opportunities to make a big play, get a sack, force a fumble, get an interception, some kind of turnover, or even opens up the possibility of a safety. Having those specialists, it might not help on offense or defense, but they can help the offense or defense with their special teams play.
Exactly. Having those guys that aren't specialists but are consistent players out there on special teams on every single unit, you can get a lot of benefits from players like that. And you see what Cody Core has done. Nate Ebner has carved out a role with them being the second best special teams player on that Patriots team behind Matthew Slater. So just overall, it's good to have both of those guys and a number of other players on this roster who are going to be perfect fits for, a special team-centric team in 2020. Well, Chris, that's going to be it for this episode. Thank you for tuning in. As always, folks, be sure to like and subscribe, rate, give us some feedback on what you think of the show, as well as head to our website, bigblueview.com. You can follow us on social media at Big Blue View. You can follow me at Joe DeLeon, and you can follow Chris at RaptorMKII.